One, two, three.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome, Holy Mess. This is the episode 25 of A Holy Mess with His Holy Mess, Father Paul. If this is your first time here, which it might be, because I'm hoping that my guests, the Catholic Man Show, Adam and David, Adam Minahan, David Niles, are sharing this with their listeners so that some of their listeners may become my listeners. Trying to do a little bit of Chris Rock. I just watched his Netflix special the other night, if you understand. anyway, so hopefully, well, I probably lost you by now, but welcome to episode 25. I have Adam Minahan and David Niles from the Catholic Man Show. They have like a real show, like a professional show. I met them at the St. Philip Neri Catholic Comedy Festival a week or two in Mesa, Arizona, and really great guys. I got to spend a lot of time with them, not just during the festival, but the next day I had breakfast with them. And I celebrated Mass for just the three of us in the hotel room. And then we recorded a couple of podcasts. And this is the result of that. They interviewed me for their show, and I interviewed them for my show. And honestly, like, what a great set of guys. I'm, like, a little sad that they live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, so far away from Newark, New Jersey, where I'm from. Represent, you know what I mean? No, I actually live in Harrison, so, which is very close to East Newark, where Topps Diner is. Topps, the top diner in the nation. Although recently they kind of turned into a nightclub, and I'm not really feeling it. And $25 for a hamburger. That, I mean, as Chris Rock was saying, get low, that's a lot of money. All right. Anyway, those were back in his In Living Color days. So I'm going through a Chris Rock phase. Andrew Minahan. No, Adam. Did I say Andrew? It's Adam and David. I'm not redoing this intro. So sorry, Adam. Anyway, so listen, you're going to hear all about them. They have a real show. Like, I asked them, they were so humble. I go, how many, like, downloads per episode do you guys have on, like, you know? And I don't even know if I should say the number right now, but, well, I mean, Adam, they recently put out something that they have like a total of like 4 or 6 million downloads. So I was like, hey guys, how many downloads per episode do you guys get? And they're like, oh, well, you know, like 60,000 downloads per episode. You want to know how many I have? How many I have per episode? I average, like, the average is about 370. 370. The most I have is about 615. The least I have is like 200 and something. And I was like, wow, you guys have, like, they're like, yeah, but we've been doing it for like 7 years, you know. We run the Catholic radio station in our diocese. They're like, just keep at it, man. Just, you know, one episode at a time. Just bam. Just, you know, it's a ministry. It's a ministry. They were just so humble and a really great guy. I had a great conversation with them. Really men, like men. Like, they do the Catholic Man Show for a reason. You know what I mean? And I'm doing this intro right now, the Solemnity of St. Joseph, which is usually March 19th, but because March 19th was a Sunday, it's now on a Monday because nothing trumps Sunday. Nothing trumps Sunday. Anyway, and so here we are, and St. Joseph is the man, like the manly man. A lot of people are like, oh, St. Joseph was really old, you know? He had to be old so that, you know, how could he stay chaste to be around, like, you know, the Blessed Virgin Mary? He must have been an older man. No, how about, as, you know, Dr. Eva would say, yeah, maybe virtue? yeah, how about a virtue? Yeah, right. Or Lauren Michaels. He was a virtuous man. He was a manly man. God chose him to raise God. God chose him to raise Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity. He was a stonecutter, mason worker, carpenter. I want to believe that St. Joseph was jacked. I don't like these art, you know, representations of Joseph as like this 90-year-old guy. There's nothing wrong with 90-year-olds. If you're a 90-year-old and you listen to my podcast, God bless you. I love you. All I'm saying is I think Joseph was a much younger dude. The Catholic Man Show wrote a book called Living Beyond Sunday. Living Beyond Sunday, they each wrote it with their wives. You're going to hear about that. I'm going to put the show notes. I'm going to put the link to where you could get their book in my show notes. I'm going to put their website in my show notes. I'm going to put their social media in my show notes. So make sure that you check it out. If you don't know what show notes are, if you have no idea, either go to the podcast app that you're listening, and in this episode, there's going to be like a bunch of information, a description, or if you go to my podcast website, just type in Google A Holy Mess, Father Paul, that'll come up and read the description. You can get all their stuff. But listen, these guys are funny. Adam, David, great guys. David, hysterical. Hysterical. I don't know what else to say about it. I'm just, without any further ado, here's the Catholic Man Show. Welcome back, Holy Messes, to a special episode of A Holy Mess with His Holy Mess, Father Paul. I think this is going to be episode 24, but I'm not exactly sure. I am here in a stadium, in a worldwide, no, I'm kidding. I'm in a hotel room at a mid-level hotel. So, yeah, one time I was
on the lower edge of mid-level.
Yeah, the lower edge, yeah. I would give it, I don't know, like maybe a 2. Okay. No, it's actually not bad.
No, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
It's a hotel.
It's a hotel. Yeah. This is my first podcast episode in a hotel room, and I am with The Catholic Man Show. The Catholic Man Show, Adam Minahan and David Niles. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah. Nailed it.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Welcome to A
Thank
Holy
you.
Mess with His Holy Mess. Why does my personality change when I press record? Why do I get nervous?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It wears off. Like, you, it'll eventually, like, you get used to it.
Around episode 72.
Yeah.
That's when you're like, this is just normal.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool,
yeah.
Man.
Something to look forward to.
All right. And we have a bit of a time crunch because we got people that need to get to the airport and all that stuff. So I'm just honored. We are here in Mesa, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And we are just coming off of the St. Philip Neri Festival, the Catholic Comedy Festival. The Catholic Man Show were the MCs, if you will, the extraordinaires. Personally, I wouldn't really have been able to get through the festival without them, so I'm very grateful on a personal level. But I don't want to talk to you guys about the festival. We've talked so much about Catholic comedy the past couple days. I want to learn more about you. I want my listeners, the five of them, to learn more about you. So, where are you from?
So I'm from Tulsa. I was born and raised in Tulsa. My current wife, we both
Your current wife?
Yeah, my current wife.
Okay.
She's still my current wife.
Okay. Just a weird way to say that.
My first wife.
Your first and only wife.
She's still my first wife.
We're good?
Yeah. Okay. Like Mark 1.
Probably put a marker on it.
I think it's Mach 1.
Okay.
Mach
all right.
We're just going at such a high rate of speed.
Yeah, really,
I know. This is really a holy mess, this thing. Yep. My entire recorder just like totally fell. But it looks like it's still recording.
We're good. We're good.
We're good.
Okay, so I was saying, my first wife, we both grew up the same parish together. Actually, interesting. Adam, myself, and my brother-in-law, who's Father Sean O'Brien, we all were in the same kindergarten class together. So
you said that his name as if I should know him?
No, I don't think.
No, he's just a priest.
But he's a priest.
Oh,
he's
got it.
He's a priest of God.
He's
Amen.
A priest of God.
Priest of God.
Priest
yeah.
of God.
I'm a priest of Christ, personally. But
okay.
Yeah, good.
Distinctions.
Yeah. So we have 5 kids. Our youngest is about 6 months old. 6 months old. I've got 4 girls and 1 boy. You know, I'm just a guy who's trying to like live a good life and get to heaven.
4 girls, 1 boy.
Yes.
And your boy, what number is he in the mix?
He's number 4.
He's number 4. So was that just like you had 3 girls? Were you totally ecstatic?
I was convinced. I was really hoping for a boy. The thing is, I think it's justice, because when my wife and I got married, I told her, it's like, all right, look, Pamela, we can, after we have 10 boys, we can talk about having a girl. Okay.
Yeah. That's what you get.
Yeah. And so after the third girl came along, I was kind of like reading some of the statistics, you know, that like if you have three girls, like there's the chance of you being like an all girl family start to go up pretty significantly. Okay, and I was okay. like just settling into the reality of like, I'm going to be a girl dad. And that's, I love girls, right? They're just, they're amazing in their own way. But like, I was kind of mourning the loss of a, of a son. Then, God in his mercy gave me, he gave my wife and I David Jr.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then our fifth was a girl. So Davey still needs a brother. That's the thing. Amen. Yeah. So he's got a lot of moms. The thing is, I'm worried about him. Okay. Because if he grows up thinking that this is the level of attention I should expect all the time, we're going to have problems. Yeah. Okay, it's not going to be good. The boy, he needs some competition around my house.
Yeah. Luckily, though, I have four boys, one girl.
Okay, all right.
So Dave and I grew up together. We went, like, our families grew up together. My dad and his dad are best friends. We've been best friends since kindergarten.
Really?
Yeah. We went to high school together. We moved in together after college because we were both broke and needed a place to stay, so we lived together. We went to the same parish together.
We used to go to the bar on Tuesdays.
Yeah, you know, because like we were just
at
single.
At 4 p.m.
Yeah, we were like single, yeah. You know.
And I think about that, you know, like
that was just
Tuesday
so funny.
Night, what should we do? Oh, I think Sharky's has got half price buckets or
something. Social.
Yeah. Yeah. So Dave and I, like, we grew up together. We went to like all of our small faith groups together, and like, you know, we just did everything together growing up. High school together. Moved in together afterwards. In college, Dave and I both fell away from the faith. It wasn't that we didn't believe the faith. It wasn't that we said, like, you know, the Catholic faith isn't true. We just were super selfish, you know, and fell into the me, myself, and I instead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we did that, and we were like, we were living together one day. And I think I walked out of the room, and we were like, we were doing okay. Like, you know, we were making hardly any money, but we didn't have any expenses, you know. And so we just felt like we were like living the high life, right? But there was something that was just itching, something that was burning, like that I just was just felt unsatisfied. And we were trying some different things, you know, like we started working out, and we started like doing other, you know, just like trying to be a whole like well-rounded human being, right? Family, both of our families did a phenomenal job of raising us in the church.
That's not why I started working out.
Well,
I was becoming too well-rounded, and so I started working out.
Because you were becoming
too. I realized I had to either stop drinking beer.
Or work out.
Or I need to start exercising.
And so you chose exercising.
And exercising seemed like a less difficult thing to do.
Sure,
and so
sure.
Yeah.
That's why I did that.
So I walk out one day, and I look over at Dave, and I said, Dave, I have a crazy idea. And he's like, okay. And I pause, like build the suspense. And I said, what if we go to Mass on Sunday?
Crazy.
What even, why? What made you even?
So the thing is like on the way home from work, we'd been starting to listen to Catholic radio.
Okay.
And that like
it's planted. New thing. Sweeping across the country.
Yeah, and so Catholic like that started radio. Like planting a little bit of a seed, right? Like, and like, again, our parents were made for heaven more so than this earth, right? They did a phenomenal job of giving us the foundation of the faith. It was nothing that they did wrong in raising us. It was a complete selfish motive of experiencing the world instead of what Christ wants us to, right?
Yeah.
And so we he decides, yeah, let's do it. He says, let's do it. And so his affirmation, like I kind of went out on a limb. Right, like I was a little nervous, like I wasn't sure what he was gonna say, because we both weren't like living holy lives at that time or pursuing virtue at that time, right? And so I was a little nervous what he's gonna say, but he affirmed me and said like, "Yes, let's go." So we went to confession and we went to Holy Mass that Sunday, and like that kicked off like this whole train of us accidentally starting a Catholic radio station.
Haven't sinned since. Not a single time.
Falling in love with our Lord and like deciding to like we decided like no, we're not Catholic. Like Catholic is in our DNA. Like we love being Catholic. That's who we are. We are, you know, sons of God, and that's our identity. And so like that like propelled us into like this these like things where we would come back home from work, we'd be listening to Catholic radio, we were like learning apologetics, we'd like quiz each other, like trying to like, you know, stump one another, and then we'd like started forming like these men's groups to like try to help that like, you know, try
very
to help
very like loosely affiliated, be like, "Hey dude, you want to get together at IHOP?"
Right. Like it was
on Tuesday. How about
yeah, it wasn't that. Like it wasn't like
from
this
Sharky's IHOP.
Right, yeah, right, yeah.
Well, we still were going to Sharky's.
Yeah.
That was in the evening. We go to IHOP in the morning, yeah. You know.
So we started like forming these little men's groups and things like that and like really trying to build like-minded men around us, right? And we had this experience that when we left our homes and we went to college and we were surrounded by other people who were not like-minded, like how we grew up, We both realized how quickly we got sucked into this lifestyle and how attractive it we thought it was and like how the people around us really influenced the things that we did, right? And so we kind of
in hindsight, it's you know, reflecting on friendship, it just in our story, and our story, you know, we've been together, you know, as friends for so long, but in college we didn't go to the same college, but we both had very similar experiences. So you know, just the idea of your friends having such an influence over the way you see the world, what you view to be good, the choices that you make, especially when you're in college, when you haven't really kind of, you haven't really discovered who you are. And I think that it's not that you're not old enough or mature enough to, but there's just something about society today that has a way of putting that off in the lives of especially young men. The people you surround yourself with, it's an important decision. It's something you really have to be careful of, because otherwise you're going to just find yourself on a different path just by, you know, associating with different people, right? And
like
that, it's the friendship. Friendship is a virtue. And so you have to make sure that the people you're choosing as friends also are pursuing that as a virtue.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, like, so a perfect example, when Pamela married David, Pamela was hilarious.
She used to be so funny.
Right? She was hilarious. And now she's like telling the same jokes that Dave tells. She's not as funny anymore, but it's because she's like hanging out with him more, right? Like, so like he's rubbing off on her in that way. And Dave used to not be as holy as he is now.
I used to not be nearly this good looking.
Yeah. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah. And see how like it just like formed him and shaped him. But anyway, like I am eternally grateful that God put like us together after college to live together, and that moment of his affirmation and like affirming like this thought, because had he had not done that, or had we not been together at that point, there's like I don't know if I would have been seeking the Lord like I do now.
It is like so interesting to think back on your life, and you can only do this retrospectively, but you realize that there's a moment. It was like, that was a pivotal moment. Like that moment, you know, my
changed the trajectory of my life.
Right, exactly. The direction of my life pivoted then and there. And it's just such a blessing. You realize that it's like, wow, God, you can just see his hand at work in your life when you think back and see how things, especially things that maybe at the time seemed like this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I've had moments like that where, you know, in the moment, you know, whether it was like, you know, the breakup of relationships or something, where at that moment it felt like this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you realize like, I am so glad that, because if that hadn't happened, I would have never done the things that followed, you know, which turned out to be the greatest things in my life.
You see the grace that's abound, like that happens in your life.
100%.
Yeah.
I can relate to that big time. So, all right. So that's amazing. And it's not even like it was like this unbelievable, like, you know, complex super intellectual challenge that Adam gave you. He just said, hey, why don't we go to Mass on Sunday? I mean, that one thing, that one, hey, why don't we go to Mass, literally change the course of both of your lives.
Yeah.
That, amen.
Yeah. See, do you see, understand, listeners, like how, what God can do with just a little invitation, a little thing. St. Ignatius of Loyola, while he's laying down in the bed, he had no books to read except for the Lives of the Saints and one other holy book. I think maybe the Imitation of Christ. I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And it says that his eyes were opened a little. His eyes were opened a little. And then he became like one of the greatest saints that ever lived.
Yeah, he's reading the saints, still like, well, almost that competitive edge, which is, you know, like a, there's something manly about competition.
Course, yeah,
it's
definitely.
Like, well, if those guys can do it, if they can be holy, I can be holy.
Yeah,
oh, so
yeah.
Anything you can do, I can do better. You know, sort of like, which is not exactly the right attitude to take, but, you know.
God can use it.
Yeah, exactly. He opened up a little bit, and that was enough for God to, you know, squeak in.
All right. So you in that story, you kind of dropped the little thing here about Catholic radio, and obviously I introduced you as the Catholic Man Show, and there's a lot more I want to hear about your conversion and before you even got there. But for the listeners, you know, what is the Catholic Man Show? How did you start Catholic radio? Like, so obviously, you know, your conversion, that's happening, but what is the Catholic Man Show? What is your mission? And what can we tell people about it?
Yeah, so the Catholic Man Show is a Catholic radio show and a podcast. Adam and I, we accidentally started a Catholic radio station one time.
How?
It was on accident.
Okay.
I'll tell this really quickly. This is a true story. And I really mean that it's actually a true story, not like when you tell a joke and you say it's a true story.
You say this all of the time, man.
Well, it's because I'm actually telling a true
but
story.
But I have never yet once, I've only known you for 2 days, but
I'll
I haven't
you,
heard
I'll
you
tell
say
you a regular
a true story
later.
That's not true.
I'll tell you a regular story later on, yeah.
So Adam and I, we were living together after college, and then he got married, and his wife, Haley, moved in with us. Which was great.
It really was because we were so poor. It was like, listen, I still need you to help pay for for the rent. And
the three of us, it was like, you know, I think there's a sitcom. It was anyway. It was a glorious time for me because I wasn't married. I didn't have, you know, I didn't have to worry about a wife, but I got a lot of the perks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You got dinner.
Yeah, like dinner every night. I don't remember doing dishes. But anyway, then they were getting ready to have their first son was about to be born, and so I was like, all right, I guess I gotta like move out
of your own apartment.
So I bought a house, but I was over just hanging out for the evening, and I got this email from this guy that I had talked to one time on the phone, so I like kind of knew generally who he was, but this email said, Dave, I have a crazy idea for a new radio station in Broken Arrow, but you have to call me tonight if we're going to pull this off. Jeff.
It's 9 p.m.
Yeah. And
did you know who Jeff was?
I talked to him one time on the phone, and I knew that, like, he was involved with Catholic radio in Oklahoma City, but like I it's weird. And so I showed it to Adam, and I said, I have no idea what this guy wants, but I'm sure it's money. And the thing is about me, I don't have any money, so I'm not gonna call him. And Adam said, just call. If I had to show it to him, I was just not gonna call him. I don't like emails. I have a bad relationship with emails. Okay. If you want to get a hold of me, you have to call me. Okay. And I probably don't have your number, so I won't answer. Okay. And then you have to leave me a voicemail, and it might take me 7 days before I check it.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So you're gonna have to be persistent.
Uh-huh.
If I don't have your number, it's gonna be hard for you to get a hold of me. All right, I understand that might be a flaw on my part, but that's just the way it is. So anyway, I wasn't gonna call him, and Adam said, "Just call him." So I called him back, and he starts going into this stuff about how there's this window open with the FCC where we can apply for a radio station and we can run it if we want to, and like I could be the CEO and like all this stuff, and like then.
But we have to get the paperwork in by midnight tonight, which it's 9 o'clock.
I kind of blacked out.
Okay.
And then when I came to, we had a radio station.
What do you mean?
We ended up incorporating ourselves, it's kind of like a blur. Like, we talk to this guy on the phone, and then the next thing we know, we are incorporating ourselves and applying for a radio station. Just out of the blue.
And
we're like, just minding our own business.
But why
right?
you? Like, did you have any history? Did this guy know that you wanted to start a radio show?
We had no desire to start a radio. We had not even thought about a radio show.
So Weird Jeff just...
He works for the Catholic radio station in Oklahoma City.
God. So okay,
they're trying to get new Catholic radio stations on air across the state of Oklahoma.
Okay.
But they can't start a station themselves. They have to have somebody in that area start
it. There are rules with certain types of radio stations that... It can't be people who own other stations. It has to be like a local community station, right? So he needed a local person to do it. I was literally the last person he knew in Tulsa.
Wow.
He had called all the Knights of Columbus, like all of like different organizations that he could try to find.
And everybody passed.
Nobody was like, interested because it's like, that's not really our charism. You know, we don't run radio stations.
And
right?
He's sitting there going through his Rolodex being like, who's the last sucker I know?
He sent me this email and was packing it up for the night saying, there, Lord. I did it. Yeah. I sent an email to everybody I know. Like, you can't put this on me. I was literally the last person. And I was the only one who called him back. So, like, this is a great testament. Like, when you're doing the Lord's will, you have to go to the last person on the list.
Yeah. Hey, that's biblical. Keep it up.
Yeah. So, anyway, we get this radio station.
We get the rights to it.
Yeah, we get the rights to it. We end up, raising the money. The money just, like, started raising itself, kind of, which was... That's the best way to do it. I mean, if you can get the money to raise itself.
Because, again, we're, like, 26 years old. They tell us you have to come up with $30,000 to get this radio station up off the ground. We have zero money. We're 26 years old. We have a regular day job.
$36,000? That was as much money as I made in a year.
Right.
You know, like at the time.
You know, and so
it was like a ton of money.
It might as well have been $3 million for us, right? Like,
who's going to give us $36,000? You know? Yeah.
So a holy priest that we know in the diocese said that we could talk and speak after the Mass, which everybody hates, right? Like, the biggest eye rolls you ever get in Mass is at the end of Mass, priest says, if everybody would sit down for just a second, so and so has something to say. But we were going to do it. Like, this is the last, you know, we're like, we're just going to try it. We raised $40,000 in one Mass. In one Mass weekend.
One weekend.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Can I get the name of this pastor in the parish? Because I have some fundraising to do for this podcast.
Father, like, we don't have time for all the stories about everything that, like, oh, what appear to be roadblocks, the Lord is just, like, taking
his
Jesus
us.
Sandal and just, like, poof, busting doors down. I mean,
for
it's
us.
Like,
it's been
incredible.
Well, that's
because it's of him. If it's of him, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's like, we didn't do anything. I mean, we didn't even start a radio station. All I did was call a dude back after a weird email.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, we get this, long story short, we get the station going.
Long story long.
Long story medium. Yeah. And then we were like kind of listening to it. And now we're like the face of Catholic radio in Tulsa. You know, we're becoming known as like the radio guys. And like everyone was, the fact that we were so young and all of a sudden running this like city, you know, citywide apostolate and seemingly very successfully. I mean, little did most people know, like, look, I have no idea how it works. Okay. I mean, like, there's some other dude who built it and set it up. And if something goes wrong, I just send him a text message. And it's like, I appreciate that you give me all this credit, but
don't know what we're doing.
I mean, I won't correct you, but
yeah.
You're right. I'm pretty awesome.
Still or just then? I'm sure you both.
Oh, it's still that way.
Well,
I mean, I don't know. I don't know the first thing about how to. There's computers in a shed and equipment. I can go in there and look at it. And I might be able to tell you, I think that box is the one that gets the feed from EWTN.
Okay? Yeah,
and there's some things I know. But if there's a problem with the radio station equipment, I am not a radio engineer.
Yeah,
I don't know how to fix it.
Yeah, but you are the face of Catholic radio.
Adam and I are the faces of Catholic radio in Tulsa.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma. Diocese of Hammond, do you know how many Catholics?
65,000 Catholics in eastern Oklahoma.
But that's in the whole diocese, you know. Most of them are going to be in Tulsa.
Right. The radio station reaches 1.1 million people every day.
We got this station, and we are, like, analyzing, what's our lineup? Okay, here's our lineup. Here's the shows we're playing. And there's EWTN's programming is great. It's amazing. It's free. It's, you know, and very high quality. But one thing we were noticing is that there's several programs that are specifically geared for women, and they're during daytime shows. You know, more women tend to be listening during the day. than men. But there wasn't anything that was like really specifically for men.
Yeah.
And so we said like, well, let's start a show and we'll do a show.
Like we own the station. We don't have to get permission. We can just like do it. Right. Like we own it. He's a CEO or he's a president. I'm the vice president. Like, okay. Motion approved.
Yeah, I second.
Okay. You know, and we move on.
It's unanimous.
Right? So we go to the bishop.
Someone write that down.
Yeah, exactly. So we go to the bishop and we tell him like, hey, here's our plan. This is your radio station. We will run it. We will not ask for any money. If you want us to do anything with it, we will do it for you. If you want us to shut the whole operation
Wait,
down.
It is his? It's on the archdiocese?
No,
you
it's
own
not.
It.
No, it's not. But we're just saying like, it's ours.
We are faithful sons of the church.
Right. So we will give it to you, or like we'll do whatever you want with it.
We're obedient to our bishop.
Right. So if you want us to shut it down tomorrow it'll be down. You know, like whatever you want to do. And he gave us he was really appreciative. He loved that we weren't asking him for money. You know, like we told him like we're not going to, you know, we're going to fundraise ourselves. Like no worries. So he says like, no, run with it. So Dave was thinking about right. Dave was thinking about starting a show, and right before he did, I came up to him. I go, "Hey, dude, I think that it'd be good for us to start a show." And he was like, "What?
I don't know, man. I'm already gonna start. I already have these plans to start a show, and I don't know if I can do two shows."
And I said, "Like, listen, man. Here's the deal, and this is my sales pitch. We're gonna drink on air."
To him, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, I'm listening, you know, and so.
Wait, so you already had, David, you already had an idea for a show.
Yeah,
just
so I was going to go around.
So that your show was a different idea than yours?
I was just going to go around interviewing the priests of the diocese, you know, letting them tell their story.
Got it.
How'd you get to be a priest? You know, just to like, it's kind of a vocations show. It was going to be far less alcohol on the show, I'm sure. But then Adam came to me with his idea for the Catholic Man Show, and I liked that a lot better.
All right, so other than the drinking on there, what else was in the pitch? Or?
Yeah, so I wanted to incorporate the idea of what we were doing with these men's groups that we started, and then like how do we take that and incorporate into the show, like and make it a show. So everything we do, like when we go to a men's group or we start a men's group, we started off with enjoying a beverage. Like we open up a beverage, but enjoy it for how it's supposed to be enjoyed, right? So like we take our time, we like really like you know, bring out like what are the notes of the smell, what's the palate, what's the finish, you know, where is
Mindful
it made?
Mindful drinking,
right? Yeah, and like what's the history behind it? Who made it? You know, like
something
like,
of quality.
Yeah, something of quality, like, to really enjoy the craftsmanship of this art, right? And then also we wanted to use that as an opportunity to showcase what moderation looks like, right? You know, we can talk about virtue, you can talk about all these different things, but if you're not doing it, if you're not showcasing, if you're not saying like, here's what it looks like, then it's hard to take a theoretical idea and make it a practical idea, right? So if we combo that up and we showcase like, listen, we can drink on air and enjoy these things that God has made for its goodness and not use and abuse it, then this is what it would look like.
Yeah, we wanted to showcase the things like you can embrace these things of masculinity, things like smoking cigars or drinking scotch. Those things are not incongruous with the pursuit of holiness.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Like you can like to smoke cigars and be a saint. Like that's totally cool. And so, you know, we wanted to, you know, bring some thoughtfulness to a lot of these masculine activities, you know, that, hey, God made the things of this earth good. And they should be enjoyed for their goodness. And so when you exercise the virtue of temperance, then that allows you to bring out the goodness in all of these wonderful things.
Yeah, as long as you're like, you're not an alcoholic or, you know.
Right. Well, yeah, in moderation looks drink. Yeah, in moderation looks different for everybody, right?
Yeah.
So moderation can look like nothing, like zero. That's the moderate for an alcoholic, right? To drink, you know, like moderation for an alcoholic is no alcohol.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so if that's, and knowing yourself is a virtuous thing, and knowing where your weaknesses are is something that you have to know to pursue holiness.
Yeah. But I think your point is that there's nothing inherently, like alcohol, there's nothing like inherently wrong or evil about alcohol or enjoying alcohol or a cigar. Some people cannot handle it. They can't. Like, for me, and I'm in recovery, been in recovery for a very long time. I mean, alcohol was never really my thing, but I got into some stuff when I was a kid. But even for me, like, I love cigars. Love, love, love cigars. Mm-hmm. But I can't just have one once in a while. I can't. I wish I could. Mm-hmm. I tried, okay? But I am, and I hopefully say this, I am strong enough to know that I am very weak. I am strong enough to know that I am extremely weak and that I can't just have one once in a while. So for me, that moderation would be none, zero.
Zero.
Okay? But for, yeah, it doesn't mean that like Catholics or Christians can't drink alcohol or can't smoke a cigar in any which way, shape, or form.
Right.
So, you know, Christian, know thyself.
Right, exactly. Know thyself. That's like exactly right. That's
so, yeah, we wanted to blend the blend holiness with the accoutrements of masculinity. And so, especially in the beginning of the show, we would do a drink, a manly drink, and then we would talk about a manly gear. You know, just like things like a pocket knife or maybe a certain tool that's in your garage, a flamethrower, you know, like just things that's like, yes,
that's what I want. I want that. And like, why?
This makes me feel manly.
You know? And like one of the ideas of this also is like at this time, I had become a father and I realized like I need to start understanding how certain things work so that way I can pass that on to my child, right? So that way I can give them something like how do these tools work and what's the purpose of the dignity of work and like finishing projects and things. So one of the cool things I did, this is a side note, but I think it's cool, I think your listeners may like this, for Saint Joseph the Worker's feast day, when my sons were born, I bought them all a toolbox. And every year on St. Joseph the Worker's Feast Day, I buy them one tool. And I teach them what that tool is and how to use it and what to do with it and how to take care of it and how to put it back into their toolbox. And then the idea is going to be, by the time they're 18 years old, they're going to have a toolbox full of 18 tools that they're going to be able to use and go out into the world and be able to feel good that they can use these types of tools. While being able to teach them, like, think about, like, what St. Joseph was doing when he was teaching Jesus about, you know, the carpentry or, like, finishing projects or, like, the dignity of work or, you know, all these different things. And it gives them an opportunity, an organic opportunity to teach them a little bit about the faith, a little bit about the world, and how to utilize, you know, certain things in this world. So that's just kind of, like, it's just a side thing.
You guys can't see me because there's no video, but I'm smiling grin to grin because that is a beautiful example. And it's not, again, a complicated thing, but of how fathers could be Christian Catholic fathers to their son, buying a tool one day a year and teaching their child how to use that tool and talking to them about Saint Joseph and Jesus. That is beautiful.
It is just an incredibly organic, like that's like a Catholic hack move, you know, like, hey, you know, it's father, son, I mean, doing the things that fathers and sons are supposed to be doing, talking about their, you know, like adopted heavenly father, Saint Joseph. I mean, it's like, it just doesn't get any better than that idea.
What is it like? What are other ways that men, right, the Catholic man show, how could men out there be? Because I know for a fact, I do have listeners, maybe just because they like me, but they don't necessarily go to church or whatever. Like, how could they be better Catholic men? How can they be better Catholic husbands? How can they be better Catholic fathers? I know there's a lot in that, and sure. I want to promote the book that you just released, all about the domestic church.
Yeah. Living Beyond Sunday, Making Your Home a Holy Place.
Living Beyond Sunday, Making Your Home a Holy Place. Where could people find that book?
AscensionPress.com. Yeah.
Okay. Through Ascension. Matthew Pinto, is he still the president of Ascension Press?
No, I think he's retired. But,
oh, okay.
But yeah, I can't remember.
I don't remember who the president is.
Yeah. I'm just curious.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's a great question. You know, because I think there's a lot of guys out there who want to. They just don't know, like, what's the first step? And that's really what our show is about. Our show is about restoring the art of virtuous living to the life of the man. The idea of pursuing virtue is totally gone from the secular conversation. You know, there used to be a time in the world where, well, it didn't matter if you were religious or not, men were concerned for their own honor and that there was a honorable way to behave. There were certain things that you just would not allow or you wouldn't do because it was not honorable. And honor culture certainly had its drawbacks. You had things like duels, right, which were probably not the best way to resolve a problem.
Yeah,
but, you know, there were a lot of upsides, kind of natural guardrails that kept people within certain moral codes. So we want to restore the idea of pursuing virtue as like the central theme of a man's life. And so if that's an idea that you're attracted to, it's going to be hard. Okay. First of all, like living the moral life, it's not for a wuss, because it's very challenging. Okay. You've got to be man enough to step up to the plate and dig in, because you know, it's like, oh, kind of glorifying it in your mind. It sounds really cool in the beginning, but until you actually start to do it and you realize like, I don't want to do this. This is hard.
Yeah, like prayer is hard, right? Prayer is arduous. Like it's not easy to pray a lot of times, right? Like you don't feel like it a lot of times. There's other things you want to be doing. You know, it's not necessarily easy sometimes to enter into meditative prayer. You don't feel like it. Whatever it is, it's not. But you do it. And you do it because you love the Lord. Like you do things for your wife all the time that you don't necessarily want to do, but you do it because you love her. Same way with our Lord, right? So like you do things for him because you want to be with him. And that is a greater sacrifice, right? If you don't want to do it and you do it anyway, that's a greater sacrifice of love, right? It's because like, it's not because I want to get anything out of it. It's not because this is an ATM. I do something for you and then you do something for me. It's not transactional whatsoever. It's more of, I just do the, I'm doing this, Lord, and you know I don't necessarily want to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway because I love you.
And pursuing holiness, it comes in baby steps. And ultimately, the pursuit of holiness is putting things in their proper order, okay? So putting first things first, okay? God should be first in your life. Now, that might sound a little too spiritual for a lot of men, and it's like, I don't really know even how to do that. Okay, what does that mean, God's first in my life, okay? One way that you can do that is by putting the natural things in order first, okay? Things like love your wife before all other people. Make sure that you are a servant to her and then a servant to your children, okay? By doing those things, you are also simultaneously putting God first, because this is the vocation he has given you. He put these people into your life. He gave them to you, like your children. They're your children, but they're really his children. In a way, you're like a steward of his children, and he's going to want them back. That's the thing, is he gave you these children, but he wants them back. You know, sort of like the talents in the parable that Jesus tells about the king who leaves, and he gives, you know, his three servants, you know, different amounts of money.
Yeah.
And when he comes back, he wants it back, and he hopes that it's grown. It's the same with our children. He's giving them to you. They're his kids, okay? He's the author of life, not you. And he wants you to do something with them. And so if you just go bury those, you know, and hide it, okay, you're going to be in big trouble. Well, I won't spoil it for you. Go read the parable and you can see how it works out, you know? So putting the natural things in your life in order is, I think, an easy first step for a lot of guys who may be like, hey, this whole religion thing, I don't know. It's too spiritual. I don't know. I don't even know what it means to put God first in my life. Well, put the natural things in your life in order. Make sure that your vocation is the first thing in your life, your children, your job. You have to dedicate some time to prayer. Okay, so if you don't pray, you have to start praying every day. Okay, I'm not saying you got to like be on your knees, like kneeling on broken glass, you know,
levitating like we do. Right. But exactly. Like, I'm just saying, like,
uh-huh. Sure. I mean, that's how I pray. But no, but you have to pray. If you either pray every day.
I'm too
day.
Heavy to levitate. the angels have tried and they just kind of gave up.
But like, here's the truth. You pray every day or you go to hell. Okay. I'm not saying like, oh, I forgot to pray today. I'm going to hell. That's not what I mean. But I mean that if you're not praying every day, you're probably on the path to hell. If you're not putting yourself in communication with the source of life, then you're not going to have it. Okay? So pray every single day. And in the beginning, that's maybe not going to be very much, like 5 minutes, 2 minutes. Say a prayer in the morning and a prayer before you go to bed. Okay, we're talking about bare minimums here. That's where you got to start. Order your life. Because grace, there's a saying in the church, grace perfects our nature. So when we get the natural things right, then grace can build on top of that and begin to perfect it. So just look at your life. What are your habits? are they good habits? Are they bad habits? So the people you're hanging around with, are they building you up? Are they setting a good example in your life? Are they, are you able to be Christ to them? Do they want you to be Christ to them? Because if they don't, then they're probably not good for you. Okay? You need to find some good men in your life. And once you get those things in order, then just trust in their prayer life. God's going to take care of you. You know, like, don't stress out about it too much. Just do what's right. Be a man, okay, and do the right thing, and like trust in him, and you'll be good. Trust in the church. So frequent the sacraments. I can't not say you gotta throw the sacraments
right.
In there. Yeah.
Cool. Adam, anything on that? I know we gotta get going soon.
Yeah.
But there's so much more that I really want to ask you about, you know, the progression of your show, how it is. Obviously, you guys travel a lot and do all this stuff, and maybe someday we could get into that. But any closing remarks on your thoughts of just what it means to be a Catholic man? I mean, David said a lot of amazing things. I want to give you the final word here.
No, I'll you know, echo what Dave says, and I think that is prayer is the most important thing. If you want to give prayer to your children, you can't do it if you don't have your own prayer life. So pray, like, set time aside to pray by yourself, and then set time aside to pray with your wife. Prayer is one of the most intimate things that you can possibly do, and to not do it with your spouse is robbing your spouse. If you're the spiritual leader of your family, you're robbing your spouse of different graces that the Lord desperately wants to give her. And so make sure that you come together and pray every single day together to be able to grow closer to our Lord, to our Blessed Mother, and to be able to lead the children that he has entrusted to you to heaven. And so pray with your wife, pray with your children, make prayer just a regular part of like what we do, a very natural thing is what we do. So that way when they, even if they fall away from the church, you have built the foundation and planted the seeds to where if they do fall away, someday they will remember that mom and dad are prayerful people. They continually turn back to our Lord. And you never know, that could be the small yes that is needed to get God back into their lives. So never quit praying for your kids, fasting for them, fast for your wife once a month. Like, pick a day once a month, put it on your calendar and fast for her. And let her know, I'm fasting for you today because I love you. I want to sacrifice for you. And tell me, do that for a year, and then come back to me and tell me that your marriage hasn't changed.
Yeah, I mean, I hate fasting. There has never been a time in my life where I regretted doing it. You know, I've never said, like, I wish I didn't fast yesterday. So, I mean, that's just, fasting is a very manly thing. I mean, it's like, you have to die to yourself. You have to conquer yourself.
I know this is a loaded question. I'm going to give you 30 seconds each to answer it, though. Why, you both have 5 children.
Mm-hmm.
Why should men and their wives be open to not just being like, I want to have 1 or 2? Because a lot of people think like, oh, I can't have a lot of kids, I don't have a lot of time. You guys are very busy. You have 5 kids each. Why be open to life regardless of the number?
So I became convicted that in the beauty of a large family, my mom's 1 of 9. And I can remember being about 15. I have about 36 cousins on my mom's side, and watching my grandparents sit around, who are very elderly, just surrounded by this army of family. And I could see it in my grandfather's eyes, the consolation and just the joy he had in like being surrounded by this huge family. And that was the moment I said, I want to have a large family. I want to embrace the adventures of life. It's like, I'm not just like, oh, that's enough. Two kids. I'm not judging the size of anybody's family, but like, I want adventure. Okay. And like having like all these kids, it's exciting. And, kind of scary sometimes, but like it's an adventure. And it's also like just objectively manly. If like you have all these kids,
love multiplies. It does not divide. So it's not like that. It's not like that you will not love each one,
right?
But it multiplies. It doesn't divide. It's not like, oh, I divide this much love over here and this much love over there, but it gives more love. It multiplies love. And it gives you an opportunity to your life is not worth living unless it's sacrificial, right? So it gives you the opportunity to self-sacrifice for others and willing the good of the other, which is ultimately like what Aquinas says, like, is what love is willing the good of the other, denying yourself, picking up the cross, and doing something for somebody else.
Amen. Amen. All right, where can people check you out?
TheCatholicManShow.com.
TheCatholicManShow.com, YouTube podcast. God bless you. Thank you. It's been an honor. Peace out. See ya. Holla. Thank you for listening to episode 25 of A Holy Mess with His Holy Mess. Please be sure to rate, review, and share this episode. If you want to be so kind to donate to the studio that I'm trying to build, you can check out the links in the show notes on our social media website. On the website, or just go to Venmo at His Holy Mess, at His Holy Mess, PayPal, His Holy Mess Podcast. God bless you. See you next week. Peace. Yeah!